Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington today. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year from July 1st to the 8th and again from August 27th to September 3rd. If you'd like to, Mount Shasta, I'm told it will be one of the first places to go into the fifth dimension in July 2020. So it should be an exciting trip. The cost is just $200 per person. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. There are efforts to stop 5G across the world and across the nation. And there's one group in Yelm, Washington, called Citizens Against 5G. It's an example of how citizens can get together and help stop this this technology that definitely will harm us. If you're interested in helping or donating to their effort, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want to go now to Maureen Thorne Thompson. She's in Santa Barbara, California. She's been seeing lots of Pleiadian spacecraft. But before we go, I'd like to go ahead and play what's called this. I can't pronounce it. It's in German, but it's called a Schiergatta. I think that's what it's called, Eric. I sent it to you earlier. Anyway, if we could play the first minute or two of that. It's a Pleiadian spacecraft from the Somogyi Silver Star Center outside Zurich, Switzerland, that was recorded in 1977. I'll play a minute of that, and then we'll go to Maureen Thorne in Santa Barbara. That is the clip of an actual Pleiadian spacecraft taking off from the Somogyi Silver Star Center outside Zurich, Switzerland. That was taken in 1977. And with that, I'd like to go to Marie Thorne in Santa Barbara, California, as an update on the Pleiadian ships flying by her area. Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ted. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Much better. Thank you. I'm almost healed. Not like 98%, so...
Good.
Feeling much better now. Yeah, feeling much better. So I wanted to ask you, thanks for asking. You've been seeing hundreds of ships flying by Santa Barbara. Are they still flying around your hometown area there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. The more, you know, again, anytime I seem to sort of walk out and make the call or let them know, they're – I would say 99.8% of the time they show up in some sense or form. So yes, they're definitely here. And they, I feel, you know, between you and I, they have completely responded to our calls for help. And I think the mass consciousness and the mass calling on specific issues is huge.
Excellent.
As far as getting a reaction and action and, just a coordinated effort between us Earth humans and those that are supporting us in the skies at this time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I know that from what I've heard that the rains have come to California, so many of the fires are out now. I don't know what's happening in Australia, but I'd like to go out, and everyone listening today, I've gotten several emails of people doing this as well. Please send a request out to our Pleiadian friends. They now have over 2 million ships circling planet Earth, and they're there to help us, but they won't interfere unless we ask them. So I'd like to, for those of you who'd like to do this, please go ahead and ask the Pleiadians for help with the fires both in California and in Australia and the fires in the Amazon. I haven't heard much about the Amazon fires recently. Maybe the situation there is under control. It's sort of hard to tell because we don't get a lot of news about it. But also I'd like to help for people to have help in trying to stop this crazy new 5G technology, which is very, very harmful To people here on the planet, and it's not necessary. So if everyone could just do a minute or less of silence, just asking them for help, the Pleiadians will respond. And as I said, they have over 2 million craft right now circling the planet, and they will help us. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Marie, is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know, that was number one on my list, Ted, is getting the awareness, more awareness around the 5G, getting assistance from our friends out there and somehow helping us to get this shut down and stop. It is coming to Santa Barbara here. I see the towers going up everywhere, and it turns my stomach at every turn, really.
Right. Well, I've been told when we shift into the fifth dimension beginning next summer, that the technology will fail. The 5G technology will totally fail. And it's an attempt as well for certain negative entities to stay here on the planet, but it won't work because ultimately Mother Earth, Gaia, is shifting into the higher dimensions. And as she shifts and many of us shift into the fifth dimension, this 5G system will start failing. And it will not work. So, but still, nevertheless, it would be nice to have Pleiadian help. I know that they can help us in ways beyond our comprehension. And so I ask everyone ask for help today, because we do need it. We can't. Yes, it's hard for us to do it totally on our own. So, well, anyway, Marie, keep me in touch and let me know as you see more spacecraft getting the messages. And I want to thank you so much. Yeah, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate giving an update on that.
Always. Thank you so much, Ted, for having me, and I hope to talk with you soon. Take care.
Okay.
Have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you. Say hello to our Pleiadian friends for us. Thanks so much.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Great. Thanks so much. That was Marie Thorne Thompson from Santa Barbara, California. She's been seeing hundreds and hundreds of Pleiadian ships for the last couple of weeks. And we did an experiment 2 weeks ago where we asked for their help putting out the fires. And lo and behold, since that time, there have been lots of rain in California. I don't know what's happening in Australia, but I think the fires now are under control in California. And I want to thank the Pleiadians for their help. I know they did assist on that. So calling out to them is an act of free will. They will not interfere or come in unless we ask for help. So we just ask for help again now. So thank you so much, everyone, for asking for help from them. This part of the program, for the next 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes, I'll be discussing John F. Kennedy. He was a wonderful president whose life was cut short on November 22nd, 1963, which was today's the anniversary of his assassination. And he's given me some messages to give everyone. It's they're not negative messages. They're positive messages on our beautiful, bright future. But I'd like to start off this segment with Eric. If you could please play the astronaut speech. It's only about 30, 40 seconds. But if you could play that, please, and then we'll start off this segment of the program.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
That second part, I think, is the most important part of his speech, and it's never usually played in mass media, but that's why I wanted to play that second part now, in terms of what we can do today to make this a better planet. President Kennedy has told me that the entire planet now is becoming like one big bright ball of light. There are some dark areas, of course, but eventually it'll become one big bright ball of light shifting into the fifth dimension, and it's happening very rapidly. It must have been about 5 or more years ago, Nostradamus gave me a timeline for the shift into the fifth dimension, and it was at one time that it would he told me it would be happened by the year 2038. Then it was moved up to 2028 or 2027. Then moved up again to 2025. Then moved up again to 2022, 2023, and now I've been told it'll be shifting. Parts of the planet will be shifting into the fifth dimension by July, by summer of 2020. Mount Shasta will be one of the first areas shifting into the fifth dimension, as will other places on the planet. But it's a remarkable accomplishment to everyone here on the planet that we all want peace, that we all want a better planet, and we all want to live in peace and in harmony. I think everyone here on the planet, most people are tired of war and conflict, and that's why they're choosing to create a much better and happier and harmonious planet. President Kennedy, if he had lived and continued to be our president through the 60s, we would all be in the fifth dimension now, and the planet would have shifted into the fifth dimension. He's told me since that time that it's the destiny of planet Earth to shift into this new age of the fifth dimension, and that's why it's happening now. Sure, he was delayed after his assassination, and we had some challenges, of course, during the last century. But things are turning around now, and vibrations here on the planet are getting higher and higher. I know that the Schumann residence is a measure of vibrations here on planet Earth. And those vibrations, they started out rising in September of 2016 when it was 7.8 hertz as a measure of the vibrations of planet Earth. And then it doubled that month to something like 13.8. And since that time, it's gone well beyond 1,000 1,000 hertz in many parts of the planet. By next July in 2020, it will be 50,000. I'm told it'll be 50,000 times higher than that. And I've asked this of Zora of the Hollow Earth before: What will it be like if Mount Shasta is in the fifth dimension, and let's say San Francisco or Sacramento is still in the fifth dimension? So if you got in a car and you drove from San Francisco or Sacramento, California, north to Mount Shasta, what would it be like driving from the third dimension into, which is a slower dimension, a lower vibration, into the fifth dimension, which is higher vibration? And he said that you'll get distortions, you would get time-space distortions, you'd still be able to go into that higher dimensional reality. But it would be a very different kind of experience. One thing that Simon Park said on my show a week ago, he said that if people have already been in Telos or been to like Shambhala or any number of spiritual places, when the planet first starts shifting into the fifth dimension next summer, which is not that far away, those people will start shifting into the fifth dimension as well. I guess that includes me, because I've been to Telos several times and been to Mount Shasta many times. But the good times are coming, and with it, people may ask, well, what will fifth dimension be like? Well, for one thing, language will become secondary, and most people will be able to communicate telepathically with each other. And forget about hiding any secrets, because another person that you're with, or a friend or family, they'll simply be able to read your mind, and they'll be able to tell you instantly what you're thinking with 100% accuracy. And people will not – they'll have to tell the truth about everything. And it's going to be a very different time. I know that from my visits to Telos and also in the Hollow Earth that there are roses and flora and fauna down there, and animals as well. But like plants, for example, the greens are greener, the reds are redder, the blues are bluer. All the colors are far more vibrant than they are here. If you've ever been up to the high mountains of the Rockies around outside of Denver, Colorado, or to Tibet into Tibet and the high elevation about 9,000-10,000 feet, or in the Himalayas in northern India, you get the same kind of effect where you get colors that are very, 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 very vibrant. Food will not be as important as it is now. You'll still eat, but you won't be eating as much. You'll live off the prana of the earth. And one of the important things that President Kennedy has told me also is that people will realize that they're all one. Isn't that beautiful? That we all have the spark of the supreme being or the creator within us. And as people realize that, if we're all one and we all have that spark of the supreme being within us, so that if you hurt someone else, guess what? You're hurting yourself. And that doesn't make any sense, does it? So the wars will become a thing of the past. Nostradamus has also told me that government as we know it today, being top-heavy and regulatory, will necessarily become smaller because people will know how to act and how to treat each other. If you look, for example, at a flock of birds or a herd of deer or elk or whatever, they all know how to act. They don't need laws. They don't need a legislature to enact laws for them every year. But they just intuitively, through their heart mind, know how to act. And that's what humans will become too as we go into this this fifth dimension. It's our destiny, actually, for this planet to shift into the higher dimensions. And it's coming. One of the most important things that Mahatma Gandhi's told me, that everyone should be the change that you wish to see in the world. And one of the segments that President Kennedy wanted me to play today is a segment. It's about 5.5 minutes long. It's from a peace speech that he made before American University in 1962. And if we could play that, then I'll wrap it up with some additional messages from President Kennedy. That would be great. So, Eric, if we could play about five and a half minutes of that speech, that would be good. Thank you so much.
What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced on the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grave or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time. I speak of peace because of the new face of war. Total war makes no sense in an age where great powers can maintain large and relatively invulnerable nuclear forces and refuse to surrender without resort to those forces. It makes no sense in an age where a single nuclear weapon contains almost 10 times the explosive force delivered by all the Allied air forces in the Second World War. It makes no sense in an age when the deadly poisons produced by a nuclear exchange would be carried by wind and water and soil and seed to the far corners of the globe and to generations yet unborn. Today, the expenditure of billions of dollars every year on weapons acquired for the purpose of making sure we never need them is essential to the keeping of peace. But surely the acquisition of such idle stockpiles, which can only destroy and never create, is not the only, much less the most efficient, means of assuring peace. I speak of peace, therefore, as the necessary rational end of rational men. I realize the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war. And frequently the words of the pursuers fall on deaf ears, but we have no more urgent task. Some say that it is useless to speak of peace or world law or world disarmament, and that it will be useless until the leaders of the Soviet Union adopt a more enlightened attitude. I hope they do. I believe we can help them do it. But I also believe that we must re-examine our own attitudes as individuals and as a nation. For our attitude is as essential as theirs. And every graduate of this school, every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace, towards the Soviet Union, towards the course of the Cold War, and towards freedom and peace here at home. First, examine our attitude towards peace itself. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. I am not referring to the absolute, infinite concept of universal peace and goodwill, of which some fantasies and fanatics dream. I do not deny the value of hopes and dreams, but we merely invite discouragement and incredulity by making that our only and immediate goal. Let us focus instead on a more practical, more attainable peace, based not on a sudden revolution in human nature, but on a gradual evolution in human institutions, on a series of concrete actions and effective agreements which are in the interests of all concerned. There is no single simple key to this peace, no grand or magic formula to be adopted by one or two powers. Genuine peace must be the product of many nations, the sum of many acts. It must be dynamic, not static, changing to meet the challenge of each new generation. For peace is a process, a way of solving problems. With such a peace, there will still be quarrels and conflicting interests, as there are within families and nations. World peace, like community peace, does not require that each man love his neighbor. It requires only that they live together in mutual tolerance.
That was a speech he gave at American University in 1962, and it has just as much relevance as it does back then as it does today. President Kennedy tells me he is still our president on the other side in the spirit world, and he also tells me that he was actually behind the peace agreement between President Trump in the United States and Kim Jong-un in North Korea a year and a half ago. And he also tells me that he's continuing to work for world peace among the leaders of the world and that they know him. He says that we all have a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us. We just have to continue to make the right choices for peace. And you have to ask yourself, you know, in view of this and the knowledge that we're headed toward a very bright and beautiful future without wars and conflict, then why do we here in the United States spend 57% of our budget is devoted to new weapons and the military industrial complex? It doesn't make any sense. You look at other countries like Canada that only has like 9% of their GDP devoted to the military industrial complex, and they have double the standard of living, half the crime rate. You look at a country like Costa Rica in Central America, which actually abolished its military in 1947 and now devotes 25% of its GDP to the environment, 25% to the environment and healthcare, and it has one of the highest standards of living in Central America. I'm not saying to get rid of the military in the United States. I think we do need the military, but I don't believe we need lots and lots and lots and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars for new weapons, because we're entering into an era where we will not need these weapons, because there will be true peace here on the earth. Finally, Mahatma Gandhi has said that everyone should be the change that you wish to see in the world, and therefore we all must start within to start to build world peace. These are messages from President Kennedy has given me today on Thanksgiving, on the eve of our Thanksgiving holiday and the anniversary of his assassination. He's still working on the other side for world peace now, and he will continue to work for world peace for many years to come. And I wanted to let you know that he's with us today, and he's with us every day. And with that, I'd like to, Eric, if we could please play the first couple of a minute or two of Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension to wrap up this part of the program. Then we'll go on to Eric Raines, the healer in Oregon. We are entering into a new age, everyone, and with that, we are entering into a new age of healers as well. And I am honored to bring on my good friend Eric Raines from Oregon. He's a fascinating man. He removed some negative reptilian implants I had in my own body back in 2015, and he's helped so many people with his healing techniques. Eric, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing pretty good, Ted. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better. I had bronchitis for 3.5 weeks, but I think I'm done with it.
I'm really glad to hear that. That's really a rough thing. It's not fun.
Well, I think I've literally eaten 1,000 cough drops in the past couple of weeks. I think Ricola's made good money off me, but that's okay. Ricola's excellent, a Swiss cough drops. But and how have you been, Eric? And be sure to give out your website too on healing people.
Yeah. So my website's unleashingnaturalhumanity.com. You can find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Patreon, on Twitter. Everything's all Unleashing Natural Humanity. Or you can find my personal page on Facebook under Eric Raines. It's E-R-I-C-R-A-I-N-E-S. How am I doing? I actually just got done teaching a class about maybe 2 hours ago. It was a part of a frequency exploration series that I'm teaching people right now. And this is the 10th of an 11-part series, and this is actually mycelium frequency. And this is a major energetic breakthrough that I had maybe about 2.5 months ago that exposed me to a frequency of the quantum entanglements of all the mycelium, the fungi, and the spores throughout the entire universe, not just on the planet, but everywhere. And it's like this overarching consciousness. And I became aware of it, and I started to actually use the concepts of fungi. You know, they break down death and decay, and they turn it into something that's bioavailable, and it brings new life. And that's what I started activating in the energy work with the vital life force and the chi flow. And it's literally creating miracles. Like, my body has revolutionized since I started to use this. Like, I don't need to sleep very much anymore. I don't have to eat very much anymore. My body is completely and totally in incredible shape. Like, I'm almost 36 right now, and I'm in better shape than when I was working construction in my early 20s. And I just got done teaching this class today, and these 20-something people were absolutely brilliant. There was just so many breakthroughs and so many epiphanies, and it was one of the funnest things to hear people talking about how when they start to activate these sensations inside of the body, not only would they come in with pains and aches and things that they, you know, they wanted to take care of, but then once everything was done, not only were they pain-free and everything was relaxed and open, but it was just such a beautiful, beautiful expansion of conscious awareness. And so that's what I'm on today. And so I'm having a pretty good time.
Okay. Well, listen, let me ask you this. You're talking about frequency and fungi. Can you, to ask a stupid question, can you use those to help improve people's health and help them with different diseases or problems?
Well, that's not a stupid question at all. That's exactly what we're using it for.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Some of the results that we saw today, we had one lady come in who she had a hip and a lower back issue, and it was for the past 4 or 5 days, she's been limping around. And she came in, and she started to clean out the field right there, and she actually found it looked like grief and fear that was stuck inside of the area right there. And so she cleaned out that muscle memory resonance, and it completely let go of all the tension of the whole reason why the muscles were tight and pulling the bones out of alignment.
Forgive me for asking this, Gary. Did you say grease and beer was in her hip? Is that right?
Grease.
Did I mishear that? What did you say again? Was in her hip?
No. It was grief, as in sadness, and fear, as in like I'm scared.
Oh, grief. I thought grease. Yes. Okay. No. Did you say beer? Was
the
beer in there too?
In the, sorry. What was that?
Did you say beer was in her hip as well?
Beer with an F.
Oh,
like terror,
fear.
Like
okay. Wow. I got to get the earwax out of my ears today. Okay. So there was grief and fear, not grease and beer. Okay. Anyway.
Grease and beer. No. That's a digestive thing. But when we're talking about the large intestine, I guess you could make that crossover anyway. But the kidney meridian, it gets clogged up with fear emotions, with panic emotions, and it actually blows out the nervous system in the area and causes pain or organ imbalance. And the large intestine actually stores trauma and grief, like sadness energy. And this is why a lot of people have lower back pain and poor digestion, tight tummy. And so she actually got rid of that. And she was telling me that it felt like such an open, empty space, like where before it was like almost like clay, where it was everything was not moving and it was stuck. And then once it was done and she had activated and cleaned this out, it was like the space where it was swirling and open. And there was so much movement, and she was able to bioelectrically activate light and laughter inside of it, and that actually replaced the whole entire muscle memory resonance. And she's got no pain whatsoever inside of the sciatic now.
What a beautiful story. I love stories like that. That's great. Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Well, it's a lot of fun, you know. It's really amazing when you actually recognize what you can do inside of the body with your conscious awareness, and then do it. You know, there's so many people who are in so much pain. And it's so easy to get out of it if you know what you're doing. And, you know, most people are just stuck inside of the words and they don't know how to explore and activate the sensation.
Right. Well, I would love to have you come to my Galactic Wisdom Conference like you did this year, Eric, if you're free, next March, March 13, 14, and 15, if you like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'll be there, Ted.
Okay, great. Wonderful. You do such good work for people. And tell me some more miracles, more healing stories. I always love hearing stories like
more
this.
More healing stories. Oh, gosh, I've got so many of them. So one of my favorite ones was a lady who had a really awful case of endometriosis. And this isn't something that's life-threatening, but it's incredibly just – it's an awful thing to have to live with. And the worse the growth in the uterine lining, the more painful the monthly cycle is. And we did one session with her, and her cycle actually started about 3 days after we were done. And she got a hold of me just absolutely in tears and crying and just so grateful because for the first time in her adult life, she's had – a monthly cycle that wasn't just excruciatingly painful. And I guess it wasn't even like just, you know, the normal cramps and nausea. Like, I don't know what it's like. I'm not a woman. But, you know, she would tell me it felt like lightning bolts that, you know, shot up her spine and it would snap in her brain so painfully that it would make her go blind. Like, you know, that right there, that was one of my favorite ones because it wasn't like a life-threatening situation, but there was so much around that. Like, she literally could not work a 9-to-5 job because she had to take off 4 or 5 days every month out of the year because she couldn't move. You know, that was one of my favorite ones right there.
Wow.
I've got a friend of mine who he had hepatitis A, and this right here is something that you can get it taken care of now with pharmaceuticals, but he was always really leery of stuff like that. When he started to learn how to move his vital life force, he actually had like a fermenting inside of his liver that he started to feel. It was like it started to bubble and like it was going like carbonation almost. And it did that for like 3 or 4 days. And at the end of the fourth day, he had a really sharp pain that it was there for about 2 or 3 seconds and then it released. And then he felt so much better. His appetite came back. He started to get hungry again. And he actually went for his checkup like 6 months later and did some blood work, and he doesn't have the hepatitis A virus anymore.
That's fantastic.
That's another one right there. I had a lady I was training about 2 months ago. She burnt her arm, a big grease burn that went from the ring finger and the pinky finger almost halfway up her elbow. And it blistered up, and it was something that it would have taken a good, 2 months to get back to normal. And she had pink skin growing underneath it within 3 days, and then the burn completely flaked off, and she can't even see a scar anymore. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of these things. My favorite ones are personal for me because, that's why I got into this to begin with. When I was 15, I got kicked so hard in the side. I was doing martial arts. I got kicked so hard in my right ribs that they broke the ribs, and then the vertebrae it was connected to got blown out the side, and it blew out the ribs on the other side. It dislocated all the cartilage in the sternum and everything on the front there. And every month I would have about 2 or 3 days where it would just seize up on me, and it felt like I was getting stabbed every time I would breathe. I haven't had that pain in I don't know how long now. That was something that when I started going into it, not only was there a lot of scar tissue and damage that was there, but the emotions that were behind it. Like, I was a kid who was, I was really kind of not okay. I was a really angry, really depressed child who it didn't look like it on the surface, but, I just didn't know what I wanted with anything. And so there was actually a point in time where people were, they were making fun of me for being gay or something like that. And, I'm not gay and I'm comfortable with my sexuality now, but boy, that really made me angry back then. And I actually found little Eric inside of those broken ribs right there being mad about people calling him gay. And so I cleaned out that resonance right there, and I felt a huge adjustment in my lower back, and things clicked and they shifted for the next 3 or 4 days. And I haven't had that rib pain since. I blew out my SI joint about a year ago, and the recovery time from that surgery is almost 9 months. And the ribs, that hurt. That was really painful. But the SI joint was absolutely the most excruciating thing I've ever experienced in my life. And this is after I already had these techniques established. And, it was one of those got to put my money where my mouth is type of a thing. It's like I teach people how to heal themselves, time to heal, Eric. And so I did. And within 2 weeks, I was still stiff and I was still slightly sore, but I was able to do yoga. And my joints were coming back together. The cartilage was reforming. And I don't have a blown out SI joint. It's perfectly healthy. And within a month after that happened, I couldn't even feel it anymore.
That's amazing.
There's all kinds
of love stories like that. That's wonderful.
What was that, Ted?
I know there's going to be a lot of people wanting to meet with you at my conference next year. I'm so happy you're coming. Are you still doing work in removing negative implants out of people too?
So it's gone way, way further than that. So
the
implants and the entities, this is really just the surface level that I was tuning into that I didn't understand what the cause of it was. But the bottom line is that negative consciousnesses that steal life force from living beings, they don't have a body, they don't have a way to create their own energy, and they're very dense, they're very hard, and they need something hard and dense in order to tap into, and that's trauma energy. That's any emotion inside of you that fundamentally doesn't feel good, like sadness, anger, shame, guilt. Those things are perfectly fine to feel, but when they get stuck inside of the body and you end up having recurring thought patterns over it, they actually get stuck inside of the muscle memory, and that's the energy that these things feed on. So what I teach people to do now is actively find where those spaces are inside of them, and then to rewrite the program so that it's not dense energy, and then any implant or entity or parasite, they can't touch you. It's like trying to grab a fistful of water. You just kind of squeeze right through and off on your merry way you go. So, I still do that, but it's that's only when there's something that's like really, really heavily established and the person can't clean it out for themselves. I just kind of sit in the background and I oversee it and show them where to do the work. And once everything's nice and clean, if they can't get something, that's what I take care of.
I know you were in touch with the Galactic Alliance 4 years ago, and they helped. They gave you some healing techniques. Are you still in contact with these benevolent, wonderful benevolent beings?
I'm always in contact. The contact that I'm really, really exploring right now is more of that fungal and the plant life that's on the planet right now. They're highly, highly intelligent, but they don't operate in the way that humans do. Like, we're all centralized. We're in one place. They're like synapses of a brain that spread out quantumly entangled throughout the entire planet. And the work that's happening here on these levels, we've got galactics, we've got high, high-level light beings that are coming straight from source levels who are starting to break down and fracture themselves into beams and filaments of light that are coming into the planet right now that the plant life is actually absorbing right now. So this is one of the reasons why Fukushima hasn't fried the planet yet. We've not only got the ocean recycling and cleaning things out, we've got the plant life inside of the ocean. We've got the plankton, we've got the seaweed, we've got the kelp, we've got everything actively tuning into these light codes that's cleaning out these frequencies inside of the planet right now.
What good news. I know the Pleiadians are cleaning it up, as well as the Galactics are doing it, as well as the people from the Hollow Earth and Telos. When I'm down at Chasta, I actually sometimes can see their ships leaving the top of the mountain, and I know they're off. They tell me they're off on missions to clean up the radiation from Fukushima. So we're all working together.
Wow. There's so many on this team right now. Mm-hmm. So many. Yeah, it's the ones that I've been in contact recently with. These are dolphin type creatures mm-hmm. that actually live in the corona of the sun, and they've been showing me really interesting ways to use almost like sonar or echolocation, uh-huh. I guess you could say, energetically. Uh-huh. And they're very, very playful. They have such a clean, pristine, beautiful, joyous energy, and they're mm-hmm. all about the communication. Like, these guys are chatterboxes, but like crazy, and they're broadcasting from the sun directly from source consciousness. It's like they're using the sun as a gateway to tap into higher dimensional fields of energy, and then they're embodying it, and then they're shining it at the earth, and it's directly connected into the cetaceans that are in our oceans too.
I've heard that there are parts of the sun which are completely habitable. We're led to mm-hmm. believe that it's a place where if you go there, you'd be fried in minutes or seconds. So I assume that doesn't happen to them there, right? They if they're living there, then they're okay, right?
So I'm not 100% certain if they actually have bodies. These might be light beings, mm-hmm, but I can't tell. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one physically. So.
Okay.
But either way, they love it. They swim in it. And even if it is hot in places and habitable in others, they I don't think they even pay attention to those levels.
Well, I'm in a place on the ocean today where there are colonies of merpeople off the coast here. And thanks to Zora and my friends in the Hollow Earth, they taught me how to contact them. So usually I just walk into the water if it's not too cold, and I meditate, and I usually can bring them in and talk to them. So they're off the coast here. So that's what I'm going to be planning on doing after I finish the show today at 4:00. So, but there's all kinds of life on this planet that people don't realize. Many people don't. The Sasquatch, of course. The Sasquatch are interesting. Well, I always see them down at Shasta, Eric, and they don't like to be called Sasquatch. Sasquatch means wild man. They said that's not a very nice term. They like to be called Chartreuse, actually.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'll find out. I can ask. Yeah, I can ask. It's probably.
Yeah, I like that word. It's got a ring to it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's got and Chartreuse, it sounds like a color in French, actually, like green, that makes more of a benevolent term for them rather than calling them wild men. They don't like that term. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
Yeah, I've had a few interactions with them myself. I've never actually seen one, but I've felt them around, and they're a very interesting presence. They are not animals, without a doubt. They are not animals.
Right.
They are
right.
highly, highly intelligent and highly energetically aware. Very, very interesting beings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, we when I was camped at Shasta July? There was a juvenile Sasquatch that was stealing everybody's food, and boy, that was quite an experience. And then we found out that a couple of people in my group was they were actually camped along a high Sasquatch Highway or Chartreuse Highway, where it was like a thoroughfare for them, and so in the middle of the night they could hear all these they could hear the Chartreuse or Sasquatch walking by their tents all night long. And for those of my group that left food out, a lot of the times the food was just gone by the next morning. So, yeah. But it was fun. It was an amazing experience, of course. And they're there. They're everywhere up there, actually.
Oh yeah. And not just there. You know, they're so widespread. Like, I've got a friend in Utah who just had a big Sasquatch encounter a couple months back. I've got. Mm-hmm. Up in Washington, you know, like there's so many encounters up in Washington. I hear about them here in Oregon too. It's Canada, Alaska, like they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And I suspect they call them the Yeti in Tibet, northern India. Mm-hmm. And I suspect they're also on other continents as well. But I don't get a lot of information. But anyway, I think that's it's a worldwide thing, phenomenon.
I believe in the Philippines they call it the Orang Pingdek.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's smaller, though. It's they say it's a hairy man with and it looks just like all the sightings of Sasquatch that we have over here, but it's about like 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm sure proud of you, Eric. You know, I first met you about 4 years ago, and you were removing negative reptilian implants out of people back then, but you've really expanded your practice by helping people in all kinds of different ways. What other areas are you studying now or you hope to go into in the future?
My biggest realm of study right now, besides these frequencies that I randomly stumble into, is clearing ancestral trauma. Ancestral trauma is one of the reasons why the earth is so dense right now. We have countless untold amounts of people who are not alive anymore who have, you know, unprocessed emotions. There's energies that have been passed down. Like, say, for instance, there was a core wounding that was never cleaned out, that was never transmuted, that was never healed from. You can pass those woundings down. And so you can end up with children who have the symptoms of that trauma without ever having lived through that trauma. And what we've been doing is finding those programs inside of the body and then following them all the way back through the genetic lineage and cleansing and cleaning those out. And this is hands down some of the most amazing work that I've ever seen. I'm seeing people not only heal their physical bodies almost immediately, but they are cleansing and cleaning millions of people's worth of stuff that, you know, if we go back far enough, like, we're all related to each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is hands down the biggest line of study that I've felt just absolutely on fire to be called to. And it's creating miracles. It's really an amazing thing to watch as we start to let go of the reasons why we feel the way that we do in the negative way.
A lot of times people will, like, buy an old house and find that it's inhabited by spirits who've been traumatized in the past and they're still there, or they may this kind of phenomenon can affect people in all kinds of ways, Eric, and that's so important. You know, it's so important.
And especially in the quantum world, we don't have time in the way that we feel it, like it goes from point A to point B. It just doesn't exist. There is no future. Mm-hmm. There is no past. There's only the experience of now. And through this gateway of now, we can access then. And, you know, and it's ours. It's our DNA. It's why the soul came here, is to feel these feelings and feel these thoughts and these emotions and recognize that the ones that we don't enjoy, they're there because it's a program. It's not supposed to be there. And we have the choice to clean it out. And so when we do, it's not just us that we're helping. It's everybody who is affected by that core trauma from however many generations back.
Right. Exactly. And sometimes, actually, from what I've heard, that actually you make a contract with your family or your spirits on the other side before you reincarnate in this lifetime to pay off their karma. And if it's sometimes it's negative karma.
I would agree with that, but it's definitely a program that you will pay it regardless of whether or not you you're aware of it, because it's your DNA. It's in the field. And if you try to go to a place that's clean, that's open, that's bright, if you have these hidden bags that are you know, jangling around behind you, like, they will pop up. You will have to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not going to get to the space that you want to be in. It's the, you know, the whole age-old issue of you can't solve the problem on the same level that it was created. And we're just inside of a whole systematic program that has, for millennia, it's been creating these systems that led to the world the way it is, to where we think that human nature is evil and jealous and greedy, when it's not. It's the exact opposite, and it's just core trauma woundings we keep passing each other that creates that behavior.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got about 5-6 minutes left, Eric, and I wanted to let you know that so you could focus on anything else you'd like to talk about today.
Anything else I want to talk about? Oh, geez. Yeah. 5 or 6 minutes, Ted. You're putting me on the spot here.
Sorry.
So one of the things that I find is just one of the most important realizations that we can actually take with us right here and right now is that when you actually stop and objectively think about it, like, Ted, I might be a figment of your imagination. You might actually be in a dream right now, and there's no way to prove to yourself or to me, who might be fake, that this is not true. And this right here, this is a way to really kind of step back from letting others' opinions really hold in the direction of where you want to go in your life. Because if, let's say, for instance, that this is all fake and it's a dream and you can't prove it for a fact, shouldn't your happiness and your passion and your drive be more important than just about any opinion from the outside, which might not even be real to begin with?
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
And from that right there, we can actually start to see the way multidimensionality works. Because we are our own universe. We are the only one that exists there. But the thing is that we're a bunch of these universes coexisting together. And so my bubble is my universe. Your bubble is you, your universe. And together, we make up the seafoam of humanity, of the collective consciousness.
Right.
And as we start to embody magic inside of ourselves, as we light up inside of this space that says, this is what I know is real, despite the fact that everything on the outside says it's not, we start to create sensations that we know we can feel that create miracles. And we can't see this yet, but the more of us who do this, the more of us who activate inside of this space right here and right now, the more the world sees magic actually happening. And as the world sees this, it's forced to recognize, well, there's definitely something going on here, and suddenly enough people believe it, and then it's real. So that right that's one of the biggest things I really feel people need to understand.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's great. That's great. How will this be affected by the shift into the fifth dimension? I'm told by summer of next year that parts of the planet, Eric, will be shifting into the fifth dimension, with Mount Shasta among the first places to go. In the fifth dimension, I know that the people of Telos live for at least 1,000 years, sometimes multiple 1,000-year periods, and they have multiple families. It's just amazing the kind of – we are engineered to live for a lot longer than we do currently in the third dimension. How will this, how do you think this shift into the higher dimensions will affect our health?
So the whole entire planet has already shifted into the fifth dimension. The problem is that 5D is outside of time, and we have to play out inside of time right now. And that's, that's where we're seeing a lot of these sticking points happening, because the human collective hasn't actually cleared it and opened it up so it can move forward into that space. And it's really a matter of, if we want this tomorrow, we could make it happen, but there's not enough attention going to it. There's not enough awareness. There's not enough self-work. There's not enough self-care. There's not enough shadow work. There's not enough ancestral karma, trauma, you know, all of those things that are causing these issues to be cleaned out. And the more of us who step into a space to where, first off, our bodies don't hurt, which is, oh, my God, it's so nice. But first off, our bodies don't hurt. Secondly, our emotions aren't wildly out of control, and our minds are completely silent. And the more people who recognize other people in that, they're going to want to do it, too.
Sure. We've got about 45 seconds left, and I wanted to let you know that, because I just didn't want to cut you off at the end, my friend. So.
Yep, no worries.
Yeah. Well, Eric... Eric, what's your website again, real quick?
Yes, sir. It's unleashingnaturalhumanity.com.
Okay, wonderful. Unleashingnaturalhumanity.com. Well, Eric, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today It's always a real joy to talk to you. You've got a great heart, and you're truly interested in helping people and helping them feel better. And I can't wait for you to see you at my conference next March, March 13th and 14th and 15th in Olympia, Washington. Anyway, Eric, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted. I absolutely love coming on to your show. You're a brilliant, brilliant human being, and I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for being here, Ted.
My pleasure, Eric. And I hope everyone listening today have a really beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye, everyone.